from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast for this October 17th, 2009. My name is Jacob Forte.
I'm Ryan Harkness.
How are you feeling today, buddy?
I'm feeling groovy. It's Saturday night, baby, and we're podcasting it up. In the Batcave.
Are you being sarcastic? I don't even know anymore. Are you being sarcastic, sir?
I have my eyes closed, too. I'm doing a bit of a Stevie Wonder thing. I'm going to try this out.
Well, today's our cheat day. We're on a new diet, so once a week we get to eat whatever the hell we want. And, you know, surprisingly enough, I thought I was going to gorge more than I actually have.
I actually thought I was going to enjoy this pizza more than I actually enjoyed it. Instead, I just kind of feel kind of good.
Every time I eat it, I just want to flog myself, be like, you're fat. I hate you. Okay, maybe not. Maybe not that bad, but... you know, I'm just kind of sad that I didn't get more pleasure out of that pizza. It's weird now. Maybe that's something that's going to disappear altogether. You know, you put a fucking greasy-ass pizza in front of me. Maybe in the future I'm going to be like, no, give me the fruit instead.
Yeah, no, it's weird, though. Fatty foods and stuff like that has never made me feel good, but it always makes me happy. That's the strange thing about it.
It releases serotonin, but at the same time, it sort of, like, distorts body image.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I thought? I don't know if this is crazy, but I saw this, I actually forget who the name of the model, but it doesn't really matter. I just saw it was a Ralph Lauren poster. With that really, like, they even photoshopped her to make her look more skinny because apparently, you know, this bag of bones is a bag of bone enough.
Her head was wider than her hips were. And the whole thing was Boing Boing was the original. This blog called Boing Boing, it's one of the biggest ones out there. They were the first to post it up, and Ralph Lauren actually sued them, or where they sent a big cease and desist and like, take that down, that's ours, no criticism. And they were like, fuck you. And from there they've been digging up more and more ads showing the whole head to hip ratio being ridiculously unhealthy.
Well, here's what I was thinking, and this is what disturbed me a little bit. I feel to some degree that fashion is kind of distorting and warping the human form in ways that I don't think it's actually supposed to, you know, look like. Because if you think about it, let's just say, this is going to sound crazy, but let's just say that having good fashion was somehow sexually advantageous, right? So you're an advantage genetically. If you dress well, you're going to get fucked, is what I'm just basically saying, right?
Okay,
follow me along with this.
Sure.
So if that is true, that means that to some degree, fashion does play a role in sexual selection, right?
Yes.
Okay, so obviously if you design your fashion for people that have, say, very distorted bodies that aren't necessarily representative of the population, but only of a small segment of that population, that segment will benefit from that fashion.
Yeah, but you don't have
There's a bit of a sexual selection process going on right
now. You got to understand that whole group of people, they don't ovulate. They can't even, they're unable.
So you're saying they're so thin that they cannot have any.
Yeah, trust me on that. I've dated some thin girls, and it's like once every 3 or 4 months, it's like, what the fuck? Oh, yeah. I'm supposed to have a period.
What kind of skinny girls did you date? Were they like skinny, like.
No, they weren't that skinny. They were just like ridiculously skinny.
I'm just asking you if they're bulimic.
No, they weren't bulimic. No, they weren't. No. Okay. You don't have to get that far before you'd be surprised, like, how. Well, I don't know, dude.
I've dated some skinny girls, and there were never any fucking problems with periods that weren't common. So I'm just putting that out there.
Maybe I should give her a call if she's still alive.
Why are we laughing at this? We're terrible.
I'm sure she's fine.
Speaking of laughing at terrible things, I put up a post yesterday. And, you know, I know it's the weekend, so probably not a lot of people read it, so this is why I want to talk about it right now. But this is just insane. There's a man in Vancouver who was recently arrested.
Is this Vancouver, Canada, or Vancouver, Canada. Washington?
No.
Those bastards stole our name. There's an Ontario, California, too.
There's a Montreal in New Hampshire.
Get your own names, America.
Stop stealing our names.
Seriously.
Anyways, so this guy who can't be identified because of his children. So they don't want to put his children at risk of being, I don't know, ridiculed. But this fucking Giacomo, he's a religious fundamentalist. What he decides to do is he wants to circumcise his own children. Mostly his 4-year-old boy. That's what he wants to start off with. You know, kind of the experiment. Let's start with a 4-year-old.
Well, actually, the truth of the matter is the 4-year-old wasn't the experiment. He
experimented on himself first, yes. Hmm. That's right. And he failed miserably the first time. His foreskin turned black, and it was just a fucking mess. It was what you would expect when someone takes a razor blade and decides that they're going to cut a piece of their dick off without, oh, I don't know, anything. He did it on a cutting board, you know? Mm. I don't even cut chicken on a cutting board unless I've really washed it severely, and even then I cook the chicken, all right? Mm. So he botches his own circumcision. So he decides he's going to go online and talk to other fundamentalists on the internet about how to do home circumcisions. Now, he gets as advice that he should buy something called Bloodstop. And that sounds all fucking fine and good until you realize that's what they use on dogs. This is what veterinarians use on dogs. And this is what his fundy buddies were suggesting that he buy.
These fundy buddies, are these just people fucking around with him?
These are fundies that also circumcise their children themselves at home. So this is a whole movement. This happens. This fucking happens.
Lordy.
Anyways, so he doesn't even... It costs $30 for this thing of powder. He doesn't want to buy that one because it's too expensive. So he decides to get this cheaper version is what they give for horses. Wonder powder, I believe, is what it's called. So he sits his kid down on the floor with the cutting board and the razor blade, snips, wraps it up and puts that powder shit on it, gives him an ice cream thing and says, okay, well, you can watch whatever you want for the rest of the week. You can just do what you want, kid. So the kid is apparently walking like he's a penguin because, you know, any amount of touching there is going to be a tremendous amount of pain. Finally, somebody notices, calls, you know, the big government, and they take the kid over to the hospital. They remove the bandages. There's this honeycomb-thick tarry substance on his penis. They have no choice but to circumcise him in order to try to save his genitalia.
I was worried you were going to say just chop the whole thing.
No. Thank God they didn't do that. So they take the rest of this guy's kids away. So right now what he's trying to do is he's trying to fight in court saying that his religious rights are being infringed upon. This is what he wants to do. He wants to fight it that way. He says he was just practicing his religious beliefs. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's just terrible. I mean, what else? This is the problem. Sometimes you bring some topics to the radio show where it's like, we can have a fun little debate. But on stuff like this, you're like, so what do you think about it? It's like, what does everybody think about it? That's just fucking horrible.
It's not everybody that thinks about it. Some people agree. They're like, this is a religious sort of right. You know, a person
most
has
people
that religion
deserve
right.
to be kicked in the head.
That's true. But you still have to talk to the most people out there. You know, you can't just kick them in the head.
I don't see why we couldn't talk to them.
We have to convince them that this kind of thing is really fucked up. So this is kind of what we do, you know? We're bringing these to light and saying these are examples of how people think that they're expressing their religious rights. And just like I had said in the article, I'm like, it's not so much how you practice religion that we have a problem with as a society. It's how you practice that on other fucking people. Specifically when you put people's lives at risk by just... cutting them with the razor blade on a fucking cutting board? I mean...
I just can't believe that a person like that would do something like that to a 4-year-old child. It's just unbelievable.
And you know what he was even saying to his child? He's like, do you want to be like daddy? Do you want to be circumcised like dad? If I would have been the 4-year-old kid, I would be like, you went to the hospital, dad. You couldn't even do it right on you. You couldn't even do it right on you. And you know what painkiller he gave him? He gave him alcohol. He gave him some alcohol. He gave him some mead because, you know, the whole thing is mead is in the Bible. So he's like, well, it's in the Bible, so therefore it should be okay. Like, he's using the Bible as a fucking guide, right? This is what this guy was saying. I've been using the Bible as a guide. The Israelites didn't know about anything like germ theory or fucking ice or painkillers. I was just doing what the ancient Israelites would be doing.
Plus using the internet and doing all the... It's just such a ridiculous...
And using Wonder Powder? Wonder Powder! They use it on horses!
Yeah.
It's disgraceful. It's disgraceful. Okay, since we can't talk more about this, let's talk about something else then.
Well, I just was wondering, just as a brief side thing,
yeah,
like how badly, horrifically mangled does your penis have to be before they're just like, we can't save it? You know what I mean?
I don't know. You know, there's a type of disease where your dick starts to corkscrew. And there's just, like, it's a type of infection, because your penis isn't really like muscle. It's more like sponge
yeah.
materials. But sometimes, I guess, a bacteria infects it, and it twists and contorts it so that it starts looking like a pig's tail. And then there's nothing you can do, bro.
Man.
There's nothing you can do. So they do have to...
I'm sure there must be something they can do now. They do all sorts of stuff. They slice it open and put, like, rods in there and stuff like that. You can have a penis that is just... straight in there, and you literally click. It's like a kickstand. You click it to the side, and you click it up.
I don't know. If that would happen, I think I know what I would do. I'm like, okay, it's time for a sex change. I'm a lesbian now. That's all. You know, if you're going to just not have any genitalia anymore.
Well, that's revealing.
I want to be a lesbian.
Okay, rolling on. Let's move on.
Okay, I want to talk about what's going on in the U.S. right now with... hate laws. Now, right there are existing hate laws in the U.S. Specifically, they deal mostly with religion. So if you attack a person, say, because they're Muslim or because they're Jewish, then the type of penalty that you face is going to be a lot more severe because it's considered a hate crime. So some enterprising government people, I know, they apparently still exist, wanted to amend existing hate laws to include a homophobia. In it, so that attacking gay people would be considered a hate crime.
Wait a second. Are you saying that it isn't already a hate crime?
That is correct. It is not a hate crime in the United States. to beat a gay man.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
No, it's not a crime. In fact, here's what was really interesting, because the article that I put up generated a lot of responses from all the visitors to Good Atheist. And, you know, there are people who listen, and they're all political spectrums who listen. And one side of the political spectrum, basically, these individuals are like, well, you know, these kinds of crimes are terrible, but we don't want special laws. Each thing should be sort of treated as its own thing, and so on and so forth, which sounds like it makes a lot of sense. But in actuality, I find that it's just kind of one of those, oh, well, you can't take anything into factor when a person attacks. They just attack, and you just have to be okay with it. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? There are always ways that you can test whether or not this crime is a special type of crime, if it is indeed a hate crime. Like, if a guy's beating the shit out of you and calling you a cocksucking faggot, it may be a hate crime, you know?
I don't know. I've seen lots of guys beat on each other and call each other that. I wouldn't just say that. Now,
We have kind of like a lemon test, you know, when you all of a sudden you're like, well, this is just something that he was doing to slur, or these were, say, well, as in the case recently with these two guys,
exactly,
one of them fucking tattooed with Leviticus 18:22 on his fucking thing saying that homosexuality is an abomination. They attack a gay man, collapse his fucking lungs, break his ribs, nearly kill him, and then say it's not a hate crime. They're like, well, it's totally justified. He came on to us. Oh, yeah, I'm sure he came on to you. Maybe he had a sexy walk, and that's what you say. Are you coming on to me, you fucking fag? You'd love to suck my dick, I bet. I'm going to beat the shit out of you. This is how these people think, you know? Mm. Like, congratulations. Oh, no, it's not a hate crime at all. No, of course not. So the amendment itself is getting just, you know, it's meeting with fierce opposition, because you apparently cannot pass a law now in the United States without Republicans basically saying no. No. So you want to make a bill that would prevent Halliburton from not allowing employees to sue because they're raped? No, you can't do that.
Healthcare?
No. No healthcare. Even the gutted healthcare, they're like, no. Nope, we don't want anything to go through. So they don't want this to go through. The main guy who doesn't want to go through is John Boehner. And I'm sorry. All right, his name is pronounced Boehner.
No, it's spelled that way.
I'm sorry, it's spelled that way. It's Boehner, okay? That's a fucking Boehner. That's your name, Boehner.
I'm sure his granddaddy was smart, and he knew where it was going. He heard that new slang, and said, it's Boehner.
Yeah, it's Boehner, my
Don't
ass.
Worry, it's Boehner.
Boehner. No. Anyways, this is the House Minority Leader, and he basically says that hate laws should incorporate only things that are immutable, that you cannot change. But since Republicans feel that homosexuality is a choice, they obviously don't feel that way about religion. So religion is allowed to stay, because you are apparently born into a religion, but you were not born gay, according to these Republicans.
Again, it's one of those situations where what can I say?
This is like, absolutely backwards, is the first thing that you say. This is 100% backwards. This man is saying the religion is not a choice, but your sexual orientation is. No, I'm sorry. It's actually quite the opposite. You are not born into a religion, just like you're not born into a political party, or you're not born into anything else, all right? What strikes me as pathetic is the fact that a man can say that shit, and he's allowed to say it. How many other, industrialized nation could you get away with saying shit like that? Really, like, it's a choice. I can't even tell you. If that happened in our country, like, that person would be fucking fired.
Well, no, I mean, the truth of the matter is stupid politicians around the world say stupid, offensive things, but stuff like this would still go through in most, pretty much every other civilized country in the world.
We've had situations where, MPs have said stupid things, and they've been fired, dude.
Yeah, they have been
seriously fired. But over in the U.S., no, that doesn't happen. No one ever gets fired. You have one guy who basically takes taxpayer dollars to take a plane to Argentina to fuck his mistress, and he's still working there. What does a guy have to do to get fucking fired over there, huh? Seriously.
Usually it just takes the sex scandal, but apparently this guy's holding on with his...
He's got that whole God thing on his side. He's like, oh, God is testing me. God is testing me.
He tested me in Argentina, too. I failed. I'm a weak man.
It was
weak
so good. Man.
I failed. My penis was so hard. Wonderful. Wonderful failure. The best sex is the sinful sex. Even religious people understand that.
You know, since nothing is sinful in my world, I don't know what that is like. That's one thing that I don't know like. I don't know what it's like. Sinful. What the fuck does sinful mean? Ooh, sky deity disproves. I can't eat pork, or else he's going to strike me down. I can't come out, I can't fucking do a coitus interruptus because God's going to strike me down like he did Onan.
No, but it's only because he ordered Onan to fucking follow through, and then Onan just came on her back or in the sand.
You know what?
Like that
happens, man. That happens sometimes in the heat of the moment. Maybe she was asking for it, come on my fucking ass. And he just does it, and he's like, fuck, no, I don't know. Maybe she was a minger.
He should have known better. God orders you to do something, to come inside. What was it, his sister?
No, it was his brother's widow.
Yeah, there you go. So God orders him to come inside of her, and he chooses that time not to. He deserved anything he got. Even just as a story, he's an idiot. He deserved it.
You know, it's funny because you never hear that story in the children's, illustrated Bible. How many stories in the Bible can't make it to the Children's Illustrated Bible? I tell you, most of them, okay?
There's another book idea.
It's like, I would love to hear the story of Lot. You know, the fucking kid's version of him being raped by his daughters? I think that would be great, In a cave. It's a phenomenal story.
Don't make fun of them being in a cave. That's how they lived.
Well, the wife had
been turning... You're so good living in this house.
That is true. I think I'm so good because, I don't rape my... I don't get raped by my daughters.
You were living back then, you'd be raping your mother. Your mother.
It was a different time, That's what everybody says. It was a different time. So, these people are living according to God's law. Why don't we go back to these times? Get a shitload of wives, have some child brides. What else do you want? I mean, the sky's the limit when you're male. In these kinds of societies, we can do what we want, buddy. Subjugate women. We take away their right to be educated. They can't talk in church.
I don't know. I really like modern conveniences like toilet paper and such, so I think I'll stay right here.
Yeah, toilet paper's nice. And just regular showering. Just remember what we were saying last bonus show about how Isaac could smell Jacob? Yeah.
And I couldn't even...
How stinky were people back then?
Yeah, and I couldn't even go back like... past 60 years because the dentistry just gets too horrific. So I'll stay right here. Thank you.
Yeah, where people... Yeah, I don't even want to think what it must be, how rancid it must be like to have sex with a chick who hasn't had a shower, like, ever.
Whoa,
like, just ever, man. Never had a shower. Maybe she was caught in the rain for like two or three days, but that's maybe not even a good moist. You know what I mean? It's like that dampy, gross dog smell.
Seriously, if you're meeting up with a person like this and sleeping with them, odds are you never shower either, so it's all equalized. I don't know.
You can get used to your own smell, but it's hard to get rid to accustom somebody else's stink.
No, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure if you're one of those old smelly people, like, you just, your sense of smell for that stuff is just like, it's all normal.
Dude, that's old smell. That's a different thing, man. Old people smell like death. That's why they stink.
No, no.
You're going to stink when you're going to be old, too. It's going to be fine. I'm sure I'm going to drown it in, like, some kind of eau de cologne or something like that. Hide my shame. Hide the shame that I smell like decay, you know? Don't know a lot of old people, though. So luckily, I don't hang around that smell. I'm sure it reminds me of my own mortality. Maybe that's the whole thing. Here's what I want to talk about next. I want to talk about near-death experiences. Because I was reading an article about it, and it was just... I don't know. I guess it was kind of annoying me. There's such a large contingent of people that have had near-death experiences that always come back, and they're always refuting what scientists are saying. Because everybody, you know, like every neuroscientist will basically tell you that what's happening when you're having a near-death experience is that as your brain basically is dying, you fall into kind of rapid eye movement, and you're having vivid dreams, and sometimes even when you're dying, like your rods and cones will start to, you know, fire and decay, and that'll lead to a kind of like a tunnel-like vision. Whatever, there's tons of explanation
whatever your brain wants to do, it can do.
Oh yeah, abso-fucking-lutely. If you've ever done serious hard drugs, you realize that, you know.
Don't trust your brain.
No.
Yeah, if you're
a liar.
And then I saw a tunnel, and there was this there and that there. I'm like, it was in your mind, you fucking retard. Every single night you have tacos with the president. And you're amazed.
Space
that, and
tacos.
You're amazed that when you almost goddamn fucking died, you saw a tunnel with light. And that means something. Jesus Christ.
What angers me, what upsets me, is they just always come back saying, well, no one, you have to experience it to really understand it. What? I hate that attitude. That's the stupidest attitude I've ever heard in my life. Sort of, is that true of everything, too? I have to experience it to understand it? Actually, if you experience it, that may change your perception of it too much and make you completely and utterly able to be objective about it. That's the real problem. You're like, I had an experience, and it totally, profoundly changed me. Well, then you're not a really good person to judge what that experience was, are you? You've already made up your mind. You're like, oh, well, I was visiting heaven. I'm sorry, what? This is a very complicated kind of... You've just presented that either, one, your brain is dying and you're hallucinating, which is a very logical and a very easy-to-explain kind of thing, or two, an unseen megaverse exists where all your dead relatives are, and there's full of bright lights and love.
And God is so bad at his job that he lets you see heaven even though you weren't really dead. Like some kind of idea that when you almost die, you get a glimpse, you get a taste. It's like, what kind of logic is that? Seriously.
Plus, we're getting so good at bringing people back that so many of these fuckers are coming back being like, oh my goodness, my experiences have changed everything. But you know, I was also reading more about NDEs, and it turns out that not every single one of them is obviously positive. But most of the negative ones are never really talked about. Like, people were saying that they were attacked by giants, or, you know, elves were attacking them or something like that.
Like, really weird
near-death. The bad trips, man. You don't assume that you can have a fucking bad trip when you're dying?
I imagine.
Holy shit. And they also say that one
of
the...
But you know what that was?
What?
Hell.
Oh, yeah, that was hell. That was punishment.
Yep.
I'm sure there's some fuckers who probably think that. They're like, oh my God, I saw hell. I better clean up my act. You know what? I'm going to stop masturbating. That was what I was doing before. That clearly must have been why I was going to hell. I can't imagine how fucked up you must be if you really actually are a super good person. You have a near-death experience, and all of a sudden you see hell, and you're like, what the fuck, man? What the fuck? I've lived a good life, and then all these other people that have NDEs that are shittier than me see heaven. What the hell? Then you realize, dude, it's just a bad trip, all right? It's just a bad trip. You didn't do anything bad or good. It's just probably right before you died. I don't know.
And don't worry. You won't even be around to be disappointed when you die.
Exactly. I mean, okay, you were getting tortured in the final minutes of your life. Oh.
As far as one of those, like, nasty pranks goes, we don't rub it in your face afterwards.
You won't even care. It's that, like, that even if you got totally, even if you totally got, you know, gypped on that, you know, NDE, and it was a bad one, who cares? It's not like you can complain. You know, who are you going to complain to, huh? Big man upstairs, got news for you. Doesn't exist. But, okay, just to wrap it up, I think it's sad, and it's just another example that people don't want to listen to the explanations behind things that appear to give them meaning. So, in other words, if a person experiences a miracle, but I turn around saying, well, look, it would be stranger if coincidences didn't happen. You know, you ever meet these people? They're like, oh my God, what a coincidence. It must mean something, right? You ever run into these fuckers?
Yep.
Yeah, well, they're annoying.
Well, I mean, everybody even has that temptation themselves. When there are enough coincidences that go on, you have to say, well, that's kind of interesting. And that's that whole, but you just see it. You always see these coincidences as no big deal. They just happen.
But the whole thing about coincidences is that they have to happen. Coincidences are just something that you have to come to expect with in life. So it might be weird. It might be like, say, you're on a cruise ship somewhere, and all of a sudden you meet someone that you went to high school with or something like that. And you're like, what the fuck? What are the odds? You know, it's just one of those things. They're inevitable because they're coincidences, and they fucking happen to us. It would be weird if no coincidences were ever happening, ever. That would be the weirdest thing ever. It would actually sort of like be proof right there, probably, that there is a God, because there's no coincidences. He's just like, bam, this is a plan, bitches. I had it already all set up and knocking him down.
No reruns. That's the glory.
I want it to be right the first time. Oh, yeah. So, like I said, I mean, you get all these people, they have confusing experiences, and I have to assume that they're probably really traumatic experiences. I mean, add to it the vividness of some of these near-death experiences and add to the trauma of almost fucking dying, and all of a sudden you have a recipe for disaster where a person's like, I don't want to listen to anything anyone has to say about these ever.
But, okay, let's look at it this way. This is a hypothetical situation for you. You got an atheist, miserable cunt, fucking riding his bike, he gets hit by a truck, falls off into the ditch, smashes his head into one of those cement...
You know, he's already pretty damaged here, because just getting hit by a truck is already a lot of damage. Yeah, so he bounces off a truck, smashes his head.
No, he doesn't bounce off a truck. The truck just knocks him off of his bike, and then he smashes his head into one of those pipes in the ditch.
Okay.
So he goes to the hospital, and he has his near-death experiences. He comes back, and he's super religious, and he turns around his life, and he's happy. Uh-huh. Good or bad?
Good in relation to what?
I'm just saying that a lot of these near-death experience people, they usually, you know, if you're going to die or almost die, a lot of these people are probably doing some dumb stuff, or some of them at least, and they're going to say,
He was riding his bike! I mean, if he was doing something completely and utterly terrible or stupid or I don't even want to say immoral, because, I mean, that's just silly. But almost says, like, and he never biked again.
Here's what I'm asking you. Is I'm saying that you're saying these near-death experiences and people holding on to them and saying that they're a religious thing and they matter. You're saying that's stupid. But for a lot of these people, it might be what they use to turn their lives around. Now, my explanation using the atheist guy wasn't a good example.
It was terrible.
Yeah, I was.
But here's
he was a failed fucking argument. I apologize for that.
Well, here's another kind of like, oh, come on, man.
Just keep
Get
rolling.
Get your cat to shut the fuck up.
Just keep rolling. It's all good.
Okay, so basically, let's take a look at the example that the reason why I wanted to talk about it. A woman by the name of Laura. I don't even know how to pronounce
it. But wait,
it.
You Laura. Didn't answer my question.
I'm going to explain it now. Okay, like in her fucking NDE, she experienced seeing her fucking husband and all this other kind of stuff. She says it's life changing, but for her, she says she's lost a lot of friends and she's on antidepressants because no one seems to understand what's happening to her.
Okay.
This is what I'm saying is usually what happens to people who have NDEs, because they become crazy annoying, okay? They fucking come to you and they're always like, I experienced this, and you're like, just shut the fuck up, okay? Your brain freaked out. Get out of my face about it and stop telling me that I need to change my life because you've had a great experience. You got high, okay? Your brain was high. End of story. That's what happened. Okay? Leave us alone. you just got high. There's no shame in that, you know? But these annoying people usually, I don't know, they become proselytizing douchebags that won't leave you alone and that seek the comfort and company of other people that have had similar experiences so they can continue to live in the bubble of delusion.
I like this massive blanket you have laid over everybody who's ever had a near-death...
I'm not saying everybody, but I'm definitely saying the ones that are like, oh, this had some significance in my life. Like, I'm telling you right now that these people typically know. It doesn't end up being very healthy when an experience and a trauma like that is what you try to use to change your life. A lot of times, these people's life probably shouldn't be changed, or they're rushing things that shouldn't, or they're riding on some kind of crazy high where they're like, I can change my life, but they haven't changed anything about it. They feel depressed when nothing does change, and then they feel like a piece of shit. So usually, no, it does not end in one of those heroic, yeah, he changed his life around. That's a fucking bullshit tale, sir. And it doesn't happen.
Ah, I don't know. Sounds like a lot of generalities out of you, buddy, but whatever. You could say whatever you'd like, and I'm just going to...
You're going to disagree?
Hmm?
Oh, my only point, okay, the only point that
I'm just saying is I could say the exact same for the opposite. Just as vaporous and cloudy and gray of a group of people who are completely the opposite of
what
you said.
So what? They've had life-changing experiences because they almost died drinking a shitload of alcohol. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean, hey, the NDE was the fucking good thing that changed them. No, I think that just the experience of almost dying... is usually the thing that does it. I mean, for everything else, this sort of the superfluous element. Oh, I saw all these angels and blah, blah, blah. They obviously reinforce something that person already believes. Like, so far, there has been no testimony of a person who is, you know, a Muslim seeing Jesus or a Christian seeing Muhammad. You know what I mean? They see what they already believe. So mm-hmm. It's just merely a reinforcing kind of vision that you have. You see people that you've already, that you know. You see your dead husband. You see your mom. So nothing new's happening here. You're not encountering anything new. You're just being faced with the same old memories and ideas you've had before.
Uh-huh.
So whether or not it took the NDE for you to do that or not is irrelevant to me. And you could turn around and say, well, this guy, same one in your weird example, and say, like, is he, he seems happier now because
Mr. Miserable Cunt
is now happy. And I would say, well, a person can be happy when they are ignorant, but it certainly does not make them right. And I don't think that is a way that a person should live their life. Be like, yay, I live in a bubble of delusion. I'm so happy. Come join me. I'm like, fucker, we got real shit to deal with here. You're waiting for rapture. We're trying to fucking get shit done. That's all I'm saying here, all right? So you're happy. Oh, well, fucking congratulations. We should all be super happy for you?
I'm just saying that you're painting a picture at the extreme end of the spectrum. And I'm just saying that there's a lot of room in the middle. A lot of things kind of like to call shades of gray. Someday
with
you'll understand.
With NDEs? With NDEs?
I don't know. No, not with NDEs and the legitimacy of them. Of course they're bullshit. But hey, if someone wants to find some positive meaning from their stupid-ass NDE?
I'm saying it's the same thing as people who have other paranormal experiences who seek groups, support groups that also have had these kinds of similar experiences. These are not healthy fucking groups.
I know. That's what I'm talking about. Those are those people at that end of the spectrum.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Those are the people that I'm usually talking about.
Excellent. Then they're
the hardcore believers. Look, a person who has a near-death experiences and who understands that it was probably their body freaking out is less likely to kind of see.
Oh, I'm just talking about it's casual. Like, it's the same thing in Mexico where it's all casual. Yes, I saw God. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, she saw God when she almost died. Or it's like, look, Jesus and toast. It's the same fucking thing. It just happens, and it's just what that person said. Changed my life. I was a gangbanger, and then I saw Jesus, and now I'm all good.
I don't know why they just can't see, I don't know, a book. Something good. Something positive. That influences you, that at least teaches you something. Why do we always have to fucking credit the shit that makes us stupider for believing it? You know? Like, I used to be a gangbanger, and now I'm a priest going around preaching. Yeah, but you're preaching fucking lies, man. You're preaching bullshit.
Man, you know what? I think you are Mr. Miserable Cunt today.
I'm actually a pretty happy guy. You'd be surprised, but you know, I have a good life. Oh, right, and you know what? I think we'll end it there.
Yeah,
I'm sure lots of people are going to have stuff to say about it. I'm sure I'm going to get accused of generalizing as usual. And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. You know, I do generalize. This is what I do. But, you know, I tell you what, if I have to deal with every goddamn specific case, then it's going to be a waste of my time, all right? We deal with generalities here. So, as a general fact, people who have NDEs who believe that they're religious experiences, yes, normally they do end up being pretty fucked up. I'm sorry. That's just it. You end up being fucked up.
You know what? I actually thought that you were about to kind of concede the fact that you were full of shit, but since you are not, I think we will go and we will see what the jury says.
We'll put the jury out. All right. With that, I just want to remind everybody, if you're a fan of the show, we have a bonus show. So if you pay $20 a year, you'll gain access to it for the next year and the backlog of shows. That's 30 fucking bonus shows. I don't know how many hours that is. It's probably like 15 fucking hours of podcasting. So if you're just like, oh, I need more Good Atheists, I'm like, $20, and you can have all the Good Atheists until you're sick of us. Mm-hmm. Sick of us.
Yeah, and if you sign up now, it means we don't have to bug you as much. We don't have to. What's his name of that guy who died? The guy who always sold the stuff on TV? He was on the South Park episode just recently.
Oh, geez, the guy with the beard?
Yeah. We don't know his name?
Billy Mays.
There we go.
Billy Mays.
We won't have to Billy Mays your ears no more.
Well, one day when we make it big and we get paid by the fat cats, of course, we totally abandon the freemium model. We just give you more because we're being paid good money.
Yep.
But we're not. So help support us. All right, with that, my name is Jacob Forte.
I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.